Okay, today I want to discuss David HaMelech. Now, the end of Shavuos is all about, well, not all about, but one of the, every sefer, every compendium on the Yom Tov of Shavuos will always have a chapter devoted to David HaMelech. Why? Because there is a legend. We have no, I don't think there's any makar for this, that David HaMelech died on Shavuos. And if he died on Shavuos, then he was born on Shavuos, because we have, by Talmidei Chacham, we have a tradition that they always die on the day that they were born. So David was born and died. It's legend. Clearly, there's a chazal that he died, and one is derived. Once we know that he died, so Moshe Rabbeinu, born and died on the same day. So the assumption is that David HaMelech, he was born and died on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and that is one of the reasons why we read Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus is a minog vasik. We read Megillas Rus because the last pasuk of Megillas Rus, the Yishai Hoylid genealogy of David, the Yishai Hoylid is David. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we read Megillas Rus. I mean, there are many, there are probably 100 reasons why we read Megillas Rus, but this is a very popular reason, because it says explicitly in the pasuk, the Yichus of David, and Shavuos, all about David. So therefore, that is a springboard to talk about David HaMelech. Just in general, generally these regarding David HaMelech. And there's a medrash. I want to tell you a medrash. First I heard this medrash, I was shocked. I was totally shocked. It makes a lot of sense after you study some about David's beginning here, with his relationship with his brothers. And then after you heard it once, it doesn't make such an impression on you, but I'm just curious if any of you heard this medrash. The medrash is cited by the Arizal. And the Kisve Arizal, I didn't bring the sefer where I swear it was born secondhand, and I don't understand every detail of the Medrash, especially the halachic elements of the Medrash. But when David HaMelech, when Yishai, during the time of lifetime of Yishai, the father of David, it was not yet determined with clarity the halacha lo yavei amoini umayavis bekal Hashem. Amoini v'loy amoinis, moyavi v'loy amoinis. It was not yet clarified that Rus Hamoavia, her conversion was valid, because we learn today in Nehemiah, lo yavi amoini umoyavi bikal Hashem. Rus Hamoavia. Rus comes from the nation of Moav. So Rus Hamoavia, how was she able to convert and marry Boaz? So Boaz, he had a head to only a Moavi, and not a Moavis. See, today, if you do this today, I guarantee you, it wouldn't work, right? If you try this today, someone will come up today and come some type of heter and make a pasuk. It says the pasuk Moavi. It was controversial, this idea. Why the pasuk Asher Laikid Moschem Alechem V'Mayim? Because they did not greet you B'Lechem V'Mayim. Who is the derech to go and greet with Lechem V'Mayim? It's men. Men are the ones who go out to greet. It's not the derech of women to go out to greet. So women are not part of this punishment, this penalty of coming B'Kal Hashem, and that's why women are allowed to come B'Kal Hashem. That is the halacha, clear as day. That has been established now. Later, but at the time, in the lifetime of Yishai, it was still being debated in the Beis Medrash if this is the correct halacha. So Yishai was a very holy person. Yishai was a descendant of Rus HaMoavia. So it says in the Medrash, it's a Medrash plia, that Yishai, he wanted very much that he should have at least one child. Yishai already, at this point in time, had already 7 children. David was not yet born. And Yishai was concerned that the day will come when they will delegitimize all of his children. You're all descendants of Rus HaMoavia, and Moavi is Lo Yavi B'Kal Hashem, so you're all a part of Klal Yisrael. So he desperately wanted to have a biological child that will be able to Yavai B'Kal Hashem L'chol Hades. So what did he do? He wanted to marry a Shifcha, a maidservant, and they would have a child, and he would then be Meshachre, would free the Shifcha and the child. I don't know why I was free her. I don't understand the exact halachic details, but basically he would marry a shifcha, he would live with her, she would become pregnant, she would have a child, and by a shifcha, the yichus follows the mother. When it comes to an amoini, nations, amoin and moyav, the yichus follows the father. So no matter what he does, the child's going to follow him. But when that's when he marries a Bas Yisrael. If an Amoini marries a Bas Yisrael, these are the halach. You have to study the halacha. I don't know the details of the halacha, but basically, if an Amoini were to marry a Bas Yisrael, a regular full-fledged Jewess, then the child follows the yichus of the father, Amon and Moav. But if a Yisrael, an Amoini, were to marry a shifcha, a slave, a shivcha kananis, and have a child, then the child does not follow the yichus of the father, the child follows the yichus of the mother, and the law is that if you're a meshacher, a slave, then the slave becomes a Jew. He's not the best yichus, he's not from the best yichus, but he's called a Yisrael, and a Yisrael is not can marry a Kohen, but he can marry a Bas Yisrael. So it was a brilliant technique on Yishai. Yishai came from the nation of Moav. He knew that there was a suffix with regard to his yichus. So he wanted to marry, so he wanted to have a biological child that would be able to marry a Bas Yisrael, be part of the mainstream of Klal Yisrael. So he wanted to take for himself a shivcha, and the shivcha would have a child, and by a shivcha marrying a Moavi, the yichus would follow the shivcha. That's the halacha. You have to look in Masech Perek Asar Yichus, Masech Kedushin, to go to the details, and then the child will be freed, and the child will have the status basically like a ger, so to speak, and he can marry a Bas Yisrael. So what did he do? He took a shivcha to do this. The shivcha was terrible. I don't know, did this not go well with the shivcha. She did not like what Yishai was about to do, and she told her mistress. She told Yishai's wife about what's about to happen. So the shivcha told her this, a very great, she felt it was a disgrace. I don't know the pratim, all details. And the shivcha asked her what to do. So it seemed, according to the Medrash, that Yishai was already poyresh from his wife at that time for 3 years. He abstained from his wife at that point in time. Why exactly, I do not know. But he did not have relations with his wife for 3 years. He was about to marry the shivcha. The shivcha felt that this is not the right thing to do. So what they did was, she told her mistress, you know what? When he marries me, I'll slip out, and you'll slip in. Right. And that's exactly what happened. He took her, she slipped out, and the details has to be seen in the Medrash. She slipped out, and Yishai's wife slipped in, and he had relations with her, and she got pregnant. And then all of a sudden, Yishai gets a report, like, guess what, your wife is pregnant. My wife is pregnant? I have not been with my wife for more than 3 years. How in the world is she pregnant? What's going on here? It must then be that she was Mizane. It's like a Yehud and Tamar story. It must then be she was Mizane. So they wanted the children, everyone knew about this. They wanted to kill her, to kill the mother, and the fetus. So Yishai says, no, we're not going to kill. It's not the right thing to do, whatever reason why. I don't know why. He decided we're not going to kill her, even though she was Mizane. There's no Yidon Hashra. He felt, but what we'll do is we'll banish them. They'll be treated now on like second-class citizens. She gave birth. The mother was banished. She was a nidui. And the child was a slave. Was Bozli Mo'id. Who was this child? David. You ever hear this medrash? Unbelievable. And that is why, it perfectly explains on the pasuk, that when Shmuel came to anoint David, right? So Hashem says to Shmuel, Shmuel, I want you, Shmuel, to go and I want you to anoint David, one of the members of Ben Yishai, which one of the members of Ben Yishai, because I have rejected Shaul. Shaul failed to kill Agag, so Shaul is out. We're now going to replace Shaul with one of the children of Yishai. Also, Shmuel comes and he sees the eldest, Eliyahu. He's Eliyahu, the oldest son of Yishai. Ah, ach neged. Neged Meshichoi, whatever Nusach he said, he said, oh, for sure the one that I see in front of me is the Mashiach Hashem. And Hashem says, I'm sorry to tell you, Shmuel, you're making a big mistake. That's not the one. I don't want him. I've rejected him. Don't look at his stature and his beautiful appearance. He's not the one. Next son. Oh, this is the Melech. They were all beautiful children, all very talented, all very roy. They were all roy from Malchus. And he goes through all seven sons of Yishai, and Hashem says to Shmuel, it's not him, none of them. So then they say, does he have another one? Is there another one? Yeah, there's a guy out in the field. His name is David. And David was like the mamzer, so to speak. It was like they considered him to be the mamzer because he was illegitimate, because the mother gave birth to him. How in the world?
Why did the mother tell the story? Just like Tamar.
It appears eventually. Okay, and that's why I don't know all the details. It appears that at some point in time later, after this event, it was revealed. The whole story was revealed that really it was the father was Yishai, and it was revealed that the mother was David's mother, and there was no avera committed, and it was because he wanted to marry the Shifcha, and she was really pregnant from the father. All that was revealed at a later point in time. But at this point in time, David was always raised as a second-class citizen. He was raised as a mamzer. He was abused. He was viewed as a mamzer. He was viewed that this is the illegitimate child that our mother gave birth to from another man. She's an Ashes Ish. And he's an illegitimate child. Well, maybe he divorced her, so she wasn't mamish and Ashes Ish. I don't know what the story was, but it was not viewed to be on the same level as the other brothers. So the Shmuel says, is there another one in this family? Yeah, there is David. And when David comes, this is the Mashiach, this is the anointed one. He was anointed, this became David HaMelech. Okay, so this is a fascinating medrash which sheds light on the entire story. When you read the story, well, why wasn't David there? Why was David a second class citizen? This medrash clearly explains why. And it's an incredible insight that David from the very beginning, I mean, it's interesting, you go trace the whole lineage of David, it's always like that. Going back from Lot. Lot, what happened with Lot? Lot was drank too much. The daughters caused him to become intoxicated, and it was an accident. And then you have the story, and they go back to Yehuda and Tamar. That's from David married. You have Yehuda and Tamar. It's the same type of story. And then you have the story with. Okay, but you have this idea going, tracing back the lineage of David. This type of idea always comes about. It was all hidden. It was all nisod. Now, why am I telling you this? The reason why I'm telling you this, besides the fact that it's a fascinating medrash to understand and get a better appreciation of where David comes from, the entire thing was concealed. We know that David lived for how many years? 70 years. Where did he get his 70 years? So no, there's a marriage that David's Abasharet was only really meant to live for 3 hours, was supposed to die right away. David, as Mazel was, he was only supposed to live for a few hours. I guess maybe they wanted to kill him, maybe that was a part of that, I don't know exactly. But Adam Harishon, we all know, everyone knows, every child knows, he saw Adam live 930 years. So where did Adam get such a funny number, 930? What happened to Lachar, 1,000 years? 1,000. That Adam Harishon gave him 70 years. So, of course, they'll tell you because Adam Harishon realized that he made a mistake if he eats Hadas, and the Tikkun will be Mashiach, and David HaMelech will be the beginning of Mashiach. Adam is Rosh HaTevos. Adam, Dalit is David, and Mem is Mashiach. It's all this one and the same, whatever these things mean. These are esoteric concepts, which I have no idea what they mean. But Adam Harishon gave David 70 of his years to rectify his shortcomings, to make a tikkun. That's a very popular approach. But there's another approach given by the Zohar. What does the Zohar say? Adam Harishon's 70 years came from three people. Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. What does that mean? Avraham was really meant to live 180 years. Like whom? Like his father Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived, from all of the others, the only one that lived a full life is Yitzchak, Chai. Chai not just 18, but add another zero. 18 times 10. Chai times 10, right? You go to shul, how much you're giving? Chai times 10. Chai. That was the full life. The full life of the Avos was 180 years. What happened? Yaakov Avinu, Avram Avinu died 5 years prematurely. Reports of my death are premature. He did die prematurely. Why? Why did he die? Because he should not witness his grandson Esav Yetzel at Harbo Surah. What became of those 5 years? They were given as a donation. Hashem gives time to David. Okay? Now let's go. Yitzchak was all perfect. Now this, I don't understand what this means, but this is what it says. You explain what this means. Yaakov Avinu can't expect to live longer than, no, not 32, 28, than Avraham. The standards have been reduced. In other words, you would think, oh, so Yaakov, you know, he lived to the year 147, right? Yaakov lived 147. He lived 147. So Yaakov, you know, you would think, so what was his life expectancy? 180. No. The Zohar says, once this itself is, requires a lot of depth, once Avraham only lived to the year of 175, that's it. That's the new benchmark. That's... Yeah. So Yitzchak, Avraham relative to Yitzchak. But once already Avraham died, and so he said, I don't know what it means, so once Avraham died... Yeah.
Because he said, you mentioned
they were reduced.
33 words in the pasuk.
So his years were reduced by
33,
which would have taken him to
38, and leaves Tufi Yitzchak because it says Vizkartani El Paro.
Vizkartani 2 years. Okay. I am Panimitara.
Yeah.
I am Panimitara, not denying it's he's saying it's 100% correct. But I'm telling you what the Zohar says. The Zohar does not go with the pasuk of Yaakov Avinu. He said that that my days are not from the Roim. He does not go with that approach. He says, he doesn't deal with that approach, at least at this point. He says that there's a new standard,
benchmark.
New benchmark, and that is Yaakov, 175. Yaakov should at least have hoped to live to the age of his grandfather, of Avraham, which was 175. You can't have expectations to live to 180 because my grandfather
says you live within approximately 5 years. You should expect to live within 5 years of your father.
Of the father,
yeah.
Okay, approximately his father.
Said, yeah.
So Yaakov didn't expect. Listen, my father lived to 180. My grandfather lived to 175. So I can't expect more than 175. I can't have that. But he died less than that. He died 147. What's the difference? 28. So 28 years were lost from the Avos. 28 from Yaakov, 5 from Avraham. Now, let's go now to the next generation, Yosef. Right? Yosef is one of the Ushpizim. Yosef, how long did he live? 110 years. Yosef said, this is what the Zohar says. It's a little bit strange. I know, it's strange. Yosef, how long should I live? Listen, I can't expect to live 180. I can't expect 175 because at least I'll expect to live as long as my father. My father was 147. That's at least I should live, right? But what happened? Yosef died 110. So how many years did Yosef? How many years did Yosef?
That's
37
years.
He lived 137 years. 37. So 37 lost years from Yosef. 28. No, not the words. Not dealing with that. That's 33 words. Not dealing with that. 37 years from Yosef. 28 years from Yaakov. And 5 years from Avraham equal a grand total of 7. This is a Zohar. David Hanelech, 70 years came from the extra years that were Avos. Which Avos? Avraham,
Yaakov,
now Yitzchak, nothing, and Yosef. Because Yitzchak made it to the finish line. Yitzchak made it to the very end.
Right.
Yaakov was 5 short. That was the new standard. Yaakov hoped at least for that. He did not achieve that, so he gave the 28 years, 28 28 years of Yaakov, that Yaakov did not make it to Avraham, and then the 37 years that Yosef did not make it to Yaakov, 37 plus 20 plus 5 is a grand total of 70. That's what the Zohar says. Now, Derech Agav, the Chidah already comes along and says, we have a stira. On one, we have a very famous medrash that says that David HaMelech got his 70 years from Adam. On the other, we have the Zohar, which seems to ignore the medrash, says he got it from the combination of Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. How do we reconcile this contradiction? So the Chidah says, no problem. If you look at the Gemara says, when I lost the love of Hashem will say to Yitzchak, you know, Klal Yisrael, they're sinners. So what does it say? Listen, half the time anyway they sleep and they eat and they go to the Beis HaKisei. So, person of 70 years, let's right away knock off 35 years. Half the time during the day, you're either sleeping, you're eating, you're doing your mundane activities, so that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That too doesn't count by an ordinary person. But by David HaMelech, it counts. So by David HaMelech, he lived a double life. This is what Chidah says. He lived a double life. So he got 70 years from Avraham, and he got 70 years from the combination of Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. Chidah, okay. Well, now, what am I coming away with this? Because this is an incredible idea. This really shook me up. Rav Sender, who is he quoting from? He's quoting from Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik. This is not a typical verse from Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik. What he's about to say, it's an incredible, incredible chiddush. He said, all of the difficulties, the tzoras of Yosef, that not everything he says from Yosheber, there's one part that I'm adding that's not from Rav Yosheber, and that's why I gave you the part that I gave the medrash for, that really fills in the gaps, is David had a very hard life. Look at David. What happened to David? He had Avshalom wanted to kill him. He had Shaul. Grace and starts with Shaul. His brothers thought he was a mamzer. I told you that medrash. That's why he wasn't even considered for the malchus until he suffered from day one. He had a life of suffering. A hard life. All of David's difficulties in life are a direct outgrowth of where he got his life from. From Avraham, not Yaakov and Yosef. For example, Avraham, what was his biggest sorrow in life? Yishmael. What did he do with Yishmael? What did David deal with? Avshalom. He had a wayward son trying to kill him. Avshalom, who he had Peradam, the other guy called Yaakovo. So Yosheber says all of the tzaras of Avshalom, and what that means, you have to understand, opens up a whole new avenue, a whole new approach to understand Avshalom. If you want now to understand Avshalom, the place to go, Avshalom, David's son Avshalom, who tried to kill him, tried to take the malchus for himself. If you really want to understand Avshalom, you know what you have to study? You have to go study Yishmael. You have to go back to Pachomish Bereshis, and listen, because since David got 5 of his years from Avraham, it wasn't just you get 5 years with only the good. You get the whole person. The whole person's mazel, the good and the bad, the struggles, the nisyonos.
The better with the better.
You got to take everything together. And therefore, that's what David struggled. David's struggle with his own son Avshalom was the struggle that Avraham had with Yishmael. Incredible, opening a whole new insight into understand this idea. Now let's go to the next. What was it? What else? David was on the run his whole life. His whole life, David was running away. He was running away from Shaul. Shaul was trying to kill him. He ended up killing Nevi'ah Kohanim. David had to run away because of his son, Avshalom. Avram didn't run away. Avram got rid of Yishmael and he stayed put. He was never threatened by his son. But David ran away. He ran away from Shaul. He was mamish running for his life. Yonasan told him, you better get out of here. You're a dead man. You stick around here. And David was running away from his son Avshalom. He was always on the run. People were trying to kill him his whole life. Who was on the run his whole life? Yaakov. Yaakov was running away from Esav his whole life. Rivka said to him, you better get running. Your brother's going to kill you. You run away your whole life. Myself is similar bonding. So if you really want to understand in depth all of the events in the life of David when he was running away from his running away, you have to understand why Yaakov Avinu was running away from. He ran away from two different people. He ran away from Lavan also. He ran from Lavan. He ran from Esav. And David also ran from different people. He ran away from Shaul. He ran away from Avshalom. You have to understand again. I'm not going to the Pratim. I don't know the Pratim, but it is opening up a whole new world in understanding these events, tracing where it comes from. Now, the third part is the reason why I told you that Medrash, because if not for this Medrash, it doesn't really fit well. Yosef. What was Yosef's wholeness in his entire life? He didn't get along with his brothers. I mean, that's what it's all about, from beginning to end, from day one. From day one, the Ksainas passed him, they don't like him. He ran away. They wanted to kill the Chalemas, they wanted to kill him. He went to Mitzrayim, he was stuffed in Mitzrayim. Even when he comes back, they didn't get along. Okay, did he give mechila? Yes, no. Did he give mechila? He supported them. He gave me. He was Michael, he was not Michael. But there was a very big difference. The Klal Yisrael, even like today, there are different segments of Klal Yisrael. There's the approach in Klal Yisrael that follows Yosef, part of the government. There's a very, very great degree of Ishtaglos. That's a whole segment of Klal Yisrael today, the approach of Yosef. Then there's an approach of, you know, the ghetto life, with nothing to do with the world. You totally isolate yourself. That's another very significant segment of Klal Yisrael. Different approaches. And these two approaches and how you deal with the world are rooted in Yosef and the brothers. The divide. Where did David, his whole life, David was hated by his brothers. Right? It's the beginning of his life until he became enough, when he became 37 years old. He's a mamzer. You're not part of us. Because of the whole story with his mother. Where did that all come from? Yosef. Yosef didn't get along with his brothers. There was always this friction between him and his brothers. That comes from, rooted in the story of Yosef. So it's an incredible insight. It opens up a whole new world when you go and you trace back the source of Yosef to these three brothers. Okay, that's one idea. Let me just tell you another something, very short, quick ideas. Relation to, between Yosef. This is a very beautiful idea. Another idea of, we always associate in life, for some reason, the end is always very significant. Right? People always talk, what was his last words? Tell me his last, before he died, what did he say to you? What happened at the end? What happened, what was the last conversation you had with him? So David HaMelech, you know, David Mamish, David, who me, God alone, me, David HaMelech, what were his last words? So the truth is, we read about his last words in Parshas Vayechi. The Haftorah of Parshas Vayechi is where we come in contact with David. David is about to die, and he's giving advice to his son, Shlomo, who's going to take over the Malchus. Let me read you the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Shmuel, Vayikavu Yimei David Lomus, Vayitzave Shlomo Bino Lemar. He gives over, this is the beginning of Sefer Melachim, Melachim Perek Aleph, Pasuk, gets Melachim, the beginning of Sefer Melachim, he calls it over, so he tells him two things. His parting words are, Ulivnei Barzilai Hagiladi, the family of Barzilai Hagiladi, Ta'aseh Chesed, V'hoi Yubiachla Shulchanecha, they shall eat by the royal table. Why? Because when I was on the run, when Avshalom wanted to kill me and I had to run away, ki kein karvu elai, the very important words, they came close to me, b'barchim ibn Avshalom uchich, when I was running away, they came close to me, and they helped me, they supported me. V'inei imcha, and on the other hand, I want you to know that there's a person, his name is Shim ben Gera, ben Hayimini, mibachurim, v'u kililani kalala nimretzes. So that same day, that same tkuf in my life, when I was running away, when Barzilai HaGiladi wanted to save me, this guy, Shim ben Gera, he was cursing me. He said, good for you, David, good, you should have to suffer, because he was a descendant of Shaul, he was coming to be Nekein Nikmas, the jealousy of Shaul, good, he cursed me, a clone of Netzes, b'yoyim lechtech machanayim, b'hu yorai l'krosi hayadin, v'ashavu l'vashem leimar, imam yisach b'cherv. At that moment in time, I decided it's not in my best interest to kill him, I did not, but now you, my son Shlomo, make sure you take revenge, and you wipe him out, v'yata al tak nehu, do not make him innocent. Tinakehu, I'm reading it correctly, ki ish chochamata, viadata esa sherta aselo, viharato es sevasa bedam shol. Make sure you bring down his hoary, his gray old head into the grave. Okay. That's his parting words, and David dies. What's going on? You would expect that when David's about to die, he would say something very profound. I once heard someone say to a certain Rosh Yeshiva, a very, very popular Rosh Yeshiva, he goes to a Beis Avel. He said, he comes to these 100 people in Beis Avel, this person is here. Everyone, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf, and he sits down, and everyone's listening, and they're expecting him to say something very deep and profound. It's like, what is he going to say? What are you going to say already? They have such high expectations, and it's impossible to fulfill these people's expectations. What are you going to say? I don't have anything more profound to say than anyone else here can tell you at this great time of tzara. What do you? He tells him, take revenge, and these people that were good to me, I want you. They should sit by your table. It's not what we would expect of David. David would tell something very profound, how to lead the Malchus, what to do, how to conduct himself, tell him, you know, the secrets of the Malchus. So the Mefarshim explained, you know, Adrabah. This obviously, we must have something very deeply profound about this statement. And what it is, and the message, let me tell you who tells you, who gives you this idea. He tells him, I think I've sent it on his own things, if I'm not mistaken. Of Yitzchok Sender. He says, Adrab, this is the most profound thing you can possibly tell David. Because what was he telling Shlomo Melech? When I was running away, the popular opinion was against me. There was one person who appreciated me. And you know who that person was? Barzilai HaGiladi. Barzilai HaGiladi was a Das Yochit. The whole world disagreed with him. I had to run away. I was running for my life. Shin Ben Gera cursed me. He was popular. His approach to life was popular. Barzilai HaGiladi was a Das Yochit. He was like Avraham Avinu. The whole world was on one side, and he is on the other side. My final words to you, my son Shlomo, are don't follow popular opinion. Don't follow the polls. You have to do in life what's right. That is the greatest nisoyon in leadership. David's about to die. He's giving over the malchus to his child Shlomo. A leader, the greatest nisoyon is, do you do what's right or do you do what's popular? And they say about Bill Clinton, every single thing that he did was decided by the polls. Took a poll. Should I go on vacation? Should I go on vacation? Yes or no? Took a poll. What are the people popular? They said yes. The polls were there. It's a good idea. The president for the country should go on vacation, show the world. Where should I go? This is true. They took polls. Whatever the poll said to do, that's what you do. You do what is popular, not what is right. Now, you know, democracy, unfortunately, that's how it has to be, because you rule by the power of the people. But when you don't have a democracy, you have a dictatorship, or you have a real malchus, then, you know, you have more leeway. You do what's right, what's wrong. His advice was, look at these two people. Shimi ben Gera, he was following what was popular. Barzilai HaGiladi was a Das Yacha, but he knew what was right. Now here he was writing the idea, he used the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim makes a diuk that by Barzilai HaGiladi it says Karvu Eli, does not say in the pasuk Karvu Osi. What is the difference between Karvu Eli and Karvu Osi? The Chavetz Chaim says Karvu Osi means they brought me close to them. I am. They were in a nice, beautiful home, and they saw that I was vulnerable, and they took me and brought me close to them. Karvu, OC. They brought me close to them. That's not what it says. It says Karvu Eli. They brought themselves close to me. Barzilai Hagiladi, against popular opinion, recognized who I am. I am the Melech. I am correct. Everyone else here doesn't know what they're doing. And they came close, wanted to join me, and they viewed it a privilege for them to come and join me. It's not just they went against popular opinion. They wanted to go against popular opinion. Okay, secretly, come into the house, we'll give you some food. No! It's a privilege! Even at this moment in time when the whole world doesn't have high regard for you, I know the truth. I appreciate who you are. It's a privilege for me to come to you, not that you should come to me. That's what Chafetz Chaim says. This is the most profound thing you can tell a child when you're about to die. Don't follow popular opinion. You do what you know to be is the emes. You have to live up, and therefore you live with this with your whole life. Make sure you take revenge against Barzilai Hagiladi, because he followed what was popular and he cursed me. And I'm sorry, Shimon Geira. And Barzilai Hagiladi, who went against popular opinion poll, I want you to be al olchei shulchanecha, should sit by your table. Not just give him a bonus. Every single day in your life, he should be by your table to serve as a visible reminder in your malchus. You do what's right, not what's popular. And he goes on to say another idea, Rav Yisrael Sender, which really it's very good for this week's parsha and for all of the end of the Chazaks. He says the haftarah of Parshas Vayechi is not the haftarah of just Vayechi. I never looked at it like this. I don't know if he asked the average person. Parashas Vayechi, we're learning the Haftarah. What are you learning the Haftarah for? Are you learning the Haftarah for Parashas Vayechi? Or is this the Haftarah for Chumash Bereishis? The average person will say there's no such thing as an Haftarah for a Chumash. You learn the Haftarah for every Parashah. Every Parashah, you have a Parashah. Oh, there's a Parashah, and you have a Haftarah. And the Haftarah relates to the Parashah. He says, not necessarily. There are five times a year when you lay a haftorah. Similar stories look complicated. You have to go get into the whole. But basically, there are five times a year when you lay a haftorah. That's not the haftorah for a parasha. It's the haftorah. You have to study the haftorah. It's a haftorah for a chumash. Okay, this week we're having this week Bahar B'chukosai. It's a chumash. The haftorah is a chumash. Vayechi is the haftarah for a chumash. What is sefer Bereishis? It's sefer Hayashar. What's sefer Hayashar? The Avos. What is the essence? If you would want to, in a few words, to define what is the essence of the Avos, so you'll tell, oh, Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevur, Yaakov is Emes, and you have all this Chassidish Torah. What is the Avos? Forget about all the Chassidish Torah. Let's talk Tachlis. What are the Avos? The Avos are people that did what was right against popular opinion. They, Avraham, the whole world was doing Avodah Zarah. Avraham said, this is nonsense. The whole world, he was willing to let himself, he threw him to a furnace. Yitzchak, Yaakov, they were people of integrity, people of principle, people of honest people. It doesn't make one bit of a difference what the world has to say. You do what is right. That's the greatest Nisayan. That is the advice that David gave his son Shlomo how to lead the Malchus. And that theme, that message, is the core of the entire Chumash Bereishis. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and every interaction that they had with all of the Ishei HaTanach, all of the people in their environment, it was, I'm going to do what's right, not what is proper and what's politically correct. That is an incredible thing. That is David's message to Shlomo, Olchei Shulchanecha. That's the Haftarah for the entire Chumash Bereishis. Okay, another short idea, very, very short. David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. This is just an interesting quote from the Panovich Arav. This is a Ha'ara, similar Ha'ara. Sefer Tehillim accompanies a person from beginning to end. Every mother is a mispalo from Sefer Tehillim to get pregnant. Then when she is pregnant, she's mispalel that she should have a healthy pregnancy. We have mispalel, the baby should be, when the child, when the mother is in labor, husband saying to Tehillim. He's saying to Tehillim. When child is born, you go to a bris milah and all the different mizmurim, and you say to him throughout your entire life, is every event. And when a person passes from this world, they come to his kavod acharon, what do? They say Tehillim, even in the cemetery, Yoshev. Tehillim, Sefer Tehillim, it's a very scary thing, goes with a person before he's born. It's the koyach hatfilah from the beginning all the way until, from before the beginning until after the end. So Sefer Tehillim is not something you take lightly. Oh, it's another book. This is the book which mamish is koilel a person the koyach hatfilah from the very beginning to the very end. It's a very, very interesting observation of the koyach of David HaMelech when you come to Shavuos. Okay, another short idea. This is that we all know that this is a controversial idea. That we have three regalim: Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So everyone says, Pasha, that these three chagim correspond to the Ovos. Pesach, a lot of Chassidish Torah, Pesach is Avraham, Shavuos is Yitzchak, and Sukkos is Yaakov. Now, how many, if you add up all the years, going back to the years, you add up all the years of the Ovos? Avraham lived 175. Yitzchak lived 180. Yosef lived 137. What is Yosef lived? Yaakov. Yaakov 147. I'm sorry. 17. What? So what's 175 plus 180 plus 147 equals 502. What is 502 correspond to? Basar. What do we do? What do we do on Yom Tov on the Shalosh Regalim? Is v'achalta? There's a mitzvah to eat, right? There's a lachem, the basar. Basar is connected. What basar only has tam when it stands in contrast to yayin. There's basar v'yayin. Right? When you want to celebrate, there are two things which are absolutely necessary to celebrate. At least in the Chazal's terminology, basar v'yayin. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov add up their life, their whole essence as basar. The shalosh regalim. David lived how long? 70. So what is 70 bigamatria? Yayin. So some want to suggest that the Yom Tov of Purim corresponds to David. So the Shalosh Regalim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov is the Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And David, we know that Al-Pi Kabbal, David is the fourth regel, he's the fourth leg of the table, is Purim. Why is David associated with Purim? Because the whole essence of Purim is Leich Kenos Eskol HaYehudim Mitzumu Olai V'al Teichu V'al Teshtu Shloshiyim. The whole miracle of Purim came about, Klai Shal was Mispala. They all came together in a grand Asefa, to be mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is David? David va'ani sefila. The whole essence of David is va'ani sefila shivisi Hashem lenegdi sami. The whole koyach of David is koyach atula. Mele, if it's perfectly in line that David represents the koyach of Purim. The reason why I say this is very controversial is because many Mepharshim will tell you, manish pumta keret. Don't even dare say that David is related to Purim, because we know that in Malchus there are two lines of Malchus, that's what Shavuos is all about. Is the Malchus of Shaul, and the Malchus of David. Shavuos is David, but Purim is Shaul. The Yom Tov of Purim relates to the Malchus of Shaul, Ish Yemini, Mordechai. And in fact, if you say Krevitz, how do you say Krevitz? Krevitz. What? Krevitz? So this year I had the very good fortune to say Krevitz on Purim. It was unbelievable. It's not so hard. And it's easy to understand what it says there. So it's amazing. Every single bracha, I was zoich to the Shlech Tzibur for Shachris, so that's, every single bracha, before you conclude the bracha, you say the Krevitz. Every single bracha has a Krevitz except for Esemach David. There's no Krevitz. Why is there Krevitz? David is not invited. David is not invited for Purim, because Purim is Shaul. David and Shaul don't mix. The Malchus was taken away from Shaul, given to David. They don't mix. Shaul has a role in Malchus. Purim is Shaul. It's all the descendants of Shaul. Shavuos. The two, this Kodr Kiblu Bimei HaChashverosh. We know there's two Kabbalah Satara. There's a Shaul and there's a David. There's no credits for Esemach David. He's not part of Purim. This idea, Namash is Pumfa Kert, that the whole essence, the numbers are very nice. The numbers add up. Basav Yayin. Basav Yayin. The Ovos and Yayin is David. Okay, we'll stop here.